T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I know I took a lot of crap from everybody in Pittsburgh not having him in the top 10. You know, hopefully some of the people saw, you know, some of the things I saw during that losing streak. You know, sometimes it does take losing and things like that for people to realize, like, oh, wait, maybe the play hasn't been quite up to the level I thought in my own mind, just because I was getting lost in, oh, we won the ball game. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is all that really matters. There's no doubt about that. Now, Big Ben, I will say this too. I do think he was fighting through some sort of injury with his leg, his knee, something like that towards the end of the year. When I've gone back and watched film earlier in the year, like I went back and watched Browns Steelers week 6, mm-hmm. Big Ben was moving around a little bit more then than he was towards the end of the year. But yes, Big Ben is still in the top half of football for starting quarterbacks, in my opinion. You know, his decision making and his arm is still real good. Is it great anymore? No, but I still think he can push the ball down the field and be accurate and do those type of things. So we'll see where it goes. But yes, hopefully people in Pittsburgh are a little less harsh to me now as we move forward.
Do you have him as the better quarterback in this game on Sunday night?
Well, I don't know if I can certainly say that right now. I mean, of course, career-wise, not even close. I think Big Ben is arguably one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks.
Yeah, we get that.
Right now for this game. Yeah, but no, right now I can't definitively say that. No, Baker Mayfield has been playing really good football as of late. You know, I think he has figured out how to play within that offense. It was an adjustment for him all year long, too. And I would say somewhere, you know, right after that game where they got blown out by the Steelers in week 6, he started to figure out, you know, how to play within this offense, how to play this style of football. And now we're seeing, okay, when the plays aren't there and things like that, he's able to play backyard football and make plays by himself, too, which is encouraging. So, no, I would probably say Baker, you know, playing a little higher level than Big Ben right now. But we've only seen one good half from the Steelers offense over the last month. And that's, to me, one of the more intriguing things about the playoffs is, can the Steelers capitalize on that? Or are we going to see the same team that kind of struggled against the Bengals, the Bills, and the football team?
Chris Sims from Football Night in America. They'll have Steelers-Browns Sunday night. Also, his Unbuttoned podcast, you can check that out. Very good stuff. So okay, so you just touched on it. What do you think that second half against the Colts, when they come back from down 17, Ben completes the long pass to Deontay Johnson, he makes plays after that to win the game. Do you think that is transferable into this game, Chris?
I do think it is transferable. I think it is one of those things that certainly can give you, you know, confidence going into the playoffs, whether you played week 17 or not. You know, I think there's going to be good vibes there. You're going to have a fresher football team. I know I've had to remind people a lot on Pro Football Talk in the morning and things, where I just go, listen, no bye week, you know, juggling a schedule, doing all that crap this year. That wasn't easy on Pittsburgh. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Plus, I would think with the week off, and knowing last week that, yeah, you were playing the Browns, but it wasn't top priority, that the offense might have a few new wrinkles to add to the game plan this week and just make defenses think, you know, about some other element. But the big thing, you know, to me, more than anything here, Andrew, is, you know, it's not going to become a running football team. Yep. You know, we want a little run game, maybe just to get the play action pass available and things like that. But we can't be so predictable within our predictableness, if that makes any sense, which it does not. But, I mean, we know you're going to throw the ball every play. You can't throw the ball every play at the same area or spot to compound that. That's a double whammy. And that's what, to me, happened in the three-game losing streak. It was like, oh, wait, okay, they're going to throw it every play. Oh, and they're also going to throw it right here to this area every play. So,
Chris,
it's
who does
all
that,
right there
who does
for
that
you.
Fall on? Is that on Roethlisberger? Is that on Fichtner as the offensive play caller? Is that on Tomlin as the head coach?
I think it's I think you would go on, you know, Fichtner and Big Ben, you know, certainly. Mm-hmm. I think it's up to them to have the versatility within your plan of attack. And, you know, I'm sure they started to realize that. And we started to see down the stretch, too, like even in the Colts game, the Juju Smith-Schuster 25-yard touchdown pass there in the fourth quarter. They kept the tight end in. They max protected. Big Ben could feel comfortable in the pocket, and now he can be aggressive throwing the ball down the field. To me, that's what they need to continue to infuse. You know, we know they want to throw it short, but you got to give the defense just enough of, hey, we're going to block it up, and we're coming after your butts with an aggressive throw here, and you better be ready to defend that. You know, you got to make defenses defend the whole field to be a real successful offense.
So even with the knee injury that you hinted at, you think Ben's arm strength is there, Chris?
I do. I think it's there, yes. I don't look at it enough where I go, oh, it's a detriment to the team. You know, I look at Phillip Rivers and Alex Smith and go, that's a detriment to the team at times. You know, teams play Phillip Rivers and company, and they go, safeties are like, we're not really that scared to get deep. We don't think you could throw it over our heads. I think Big Ben still has that ability, no doubt. And I think defenders know that. They just got to call plays and scare people a little bit with that. And I think that'll back people off and then open up that shorter passing game once again.
Chris Sims, NBC Sports, is our guest. Chris, why isn't the run game a factor for the Steelers?
Well, run game, as you know, and anything, it's an attitude,
yep.
First off. You know, it is. And it got into a part of the year where I don't know where it went wrong. To me, I feel like it was the Baltimore Ravens, you know, COVID-19 reschedule game where it really went out of hand, where it was just like, we're not even going to think about running it anymore. We're just going to throw it every freaking play. Before that, there was at least a little threat of it from time to time. Now, I know there was the James Conner injury. I don't know if Big Ben, I heard him say that he, you know, some of the RPOs and things, and I've said this on my show, there was plays where I believe it was RPOs, and I just go, man, hand the ball off. He's going to run for 15 yards. Why are we keeping this and throwing it? So I think it was a little of that maybe too. But if you don't continue to do that, practice that, make that part of your mantra, it's hard to really kind of just recapture that type of attitude. Like we've seen when they've gotten down in the goal line, you know, against the Colts or Washington. They can't punch it in there. Of course they can't punch it in there. They pass protected the 40 plays before that. Now they want them to get low and drive off the ball. They're not ready for that. And it's not being emphasized in practice and all of those things. So that's where it's just too hard to kind of regain that or recapture that or infuse that into your offense this late in the year.
Do you think their offensive line is at fault? Not just for the run game issues, but Roethlisberger and his slide late in the year. What do you see from their pass protection and their line in general, Chris?
Well, yeah, I still think it's one of the better pass protecting O-lines in the game.
Okay.
Now, run game, no, it's not special by any stretch of the imagination. It's a lot of tall guys and high pad levels, and you don't see the line of scrimmage being moved very often. You know, the pass protection was not as good as, you know, it had been all year towards the end of the year. But I think that plays into, again, a little what we were talking about. A team that was worn out, became very predictable, lost their mojo and their self-confidence a little bit too, and all of those things. And it kind of just all kind of, you know, fell out of control there for a few weeks. I have faith between Big Ben, some of the veterans that are on that team, Mike Tomlin, who I was with in Tampa, mm-hmm. that things will get straightened out and you'll see a different energy and a different football team on Sunday night this week.
Now, when you say straightened out, okay, so you think they'll beat the Browns, but do you have aspirations beyond that for the Steelers, Chris?
Well, I'd like to see another game of this offense and see where it goes from there. It's still a really awesome defense that, you know, if the offense can continue or can just play good, solid football, not turn the ball over, then I think, yes, Pittsburgh can play against anybody.
Chiefs included.
That's going to be an uphill climb. It'll take a special game there to beat the Bills or the Chiefs, in my opinion, right mm-hmm. now. I mean, they might be the two best teams in football, and they're in the AFC. And Josh Allen's phenomenal. That's the type of game, though. Yeah, Kansas City, Bills, I'm probably going to pick Buffalo or Kansas City to beat Pittsburgh. But one strip sack fumble, one tip pass by Cam Hayward, intercepted Minkah Fitzpatrick, touchdown return, and all of a sudden that game's different. And that's the beauty of Pittsburgh, and it's the beauty of the team altogether, because the defense can make those type of plays and win games almost that way, single-handedly at times. And that's where the Steelers are very dangerous.
NBC Sports' Chris Sims from the Unbuttoned podcast. Go to wherever podcasts are available to get that. Check him out, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. Check him out Sunday night for Steelers and Browns. What do you make, Chris, this week of Tomlin at least leaving the door open for using Josh Dobbs the way that the Colts have used Jacoby Brissett, and obviously not to the extent that the Saints use Taysom Hill, but the idea of taking Roethlisberger off the field for a dual-threat quarterback for a certain package of plays. What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. You know, they need something else to make defenses think about. You know, again, that's one of my big things when you listen to my podcast or anything like that is great offenses make defenses defend every square inch of the field. And that's, to me, where Pittsburgh lost its way. You know, so I like that little wrinkle we saw last week. Yeah, it puts you in a bind a little bit. His ability to run, whoa, do we want to really, really go all in to stop the run game because he can throw it a little bit? And I would think even keeping Big Ben out there with him could be a possibility. You know, infuse a trick play, have the threat of the trick play. You know, the defense might have to play it a little differently if Big Ben and Dobbs are both on the field, too. They might, Dobbs might be in the game, and if there's no Big Ben, a defense might go, we don't care, there's three receivers. Yep. We're going to put our base defense in and stop the run. If Big Ben was in there, they might go, let's stay a nickel because they could still run it or throw it. But either way, I think it's a good wrinkle.
I can't see, like, when the Colts have Rivers on the sideline for short yardage and Brissett comes in, I cannot see Roethlisberger tolerating that, though.
Short yardage is a different – that one, okay, you can get them off the field. But I do think there's something to be said, and this is why you see the Saints do this sometimes, mm-hmm. where Taysom Hill comes in and Drew Brees is split out
yeah.
because you're not sure what you're going to get. It could be Drew Brees at quarterback and Taysom Hill in the slot as a receiver.
Yeah.
Well, Dobbs can run and catch. They could do this something like that to him, very simple too, just to give that threat and make the defense think. But I hear what you're saying, definitely.
How about Stefanski not being there? What's that mean to the Browns, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, what you lose there is I'm not really necessarily worried about anything practiced during the week. Yep. He's still going to be able to set forth the plan and be all over them and probably watch practice live on Zoom and, of course, watch it on film with everybody and do that. But to me is where it's going to be, you know, Stefanski's a head coach because, you know, he's a play caller. He understands in-game adjustments. He's got a knack or a gut to go, ooh, I think they're overplaying this. I think we need to start calling this and do that. That's where I worry about them. I think on, like, the day-to-day basis and for the most part of the football game, they'll be fine. But it's going to be those three or four gut decisions a head coach has to make or a big play call on a third and one or do we punt it or go for it. That's where I'm going to be interested to see what happens and how that unfolds. And that's maybe the magic you miss by not having your head coach there.
So you don't think it's like last year with Kitchens as the coach? They fall back into being that team?
I don't think so. This is a totally different team, totally different culture. The best thing, too, they got here is they got a guy like, you know, Callahan, their offensive line coach. Their offensive line is the best thing on their football team. And I think they'll realize, listen, we want to beat Pittsburgh, you know, not let their pass rush overwhelm us like the first game around and ruin the game. We need to run the ball and play that style of football. And I would be shocked if they got away from that.
What do you think happens next year with them, Chris? You think they bring them back $41
million? Yes, I do. I do think, though, like, you know, it's time we got to start thinking about something else. Now, I've heard in Pittsburgh that they think Mason Rudolph is the future and the next guy. I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't. So, but the way Big Ben played this year and things like that, yeah, I think he's bought himself one more year. But I think we are in the phase of, okay, we got to start thinking about how we're going to replace him in a big way. for two reasons. One, I think you need a, you know, really good backup, and if that's Mason, that's fine. But you have a Super Bowl type of team. You don't want to, like, lose your quarterback like last year and then have no chance of getting to the Super Bowl. So that would be it. But either way, even into the future, you could start thinking about, do we draft a guy, let him sit behind a Big Ben and groom him that way for a year or two? I think all of that's got to be on the table in Pittsburgh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.